Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So, let's bring in House Speaker Ritter.
Would you like to do that?
Yeah, let's do it. Matt Ritter, House Speaker.
Good idea.
Listen, Ray opened with weed, but I'll give you the choice. You want to go weed or implementer? Which one do you want to start with?
Well, good morning. We could start with legalizing cannabis, if you'd like, yes.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. So
the formality. Now, the Senate's today, the House is tomorrow. Do they re-debate it? Do they re-vote? How does it work, and what do you think of the chances?
Yeah, I mean, they have to re-vote it. I don't know how long the debate will be. The bill has changed, you know, in minor ways, but not substantially, obviously, since last week. So you'll have to ask them how long the debate goes, but they did 5 hours last week,
right.
So maybe, who knows, around there. But in terms of passage, it will pass the Senate and the House. We'll finish it tomorrow. Yeah.
Before we get to all the issues very quickly, and we will, you know, an implementer, how does it work? In other words, if you look at a bill that's been raised before the House or the Senate, gone to committee and all that, it's pretty specific, actually. So what does the implementer do then?
I mean, the implementer does two things, right? One, at its core, is it implements the budget. So for example, if you appropriate $500,000 for a grant program, you need language attached to that. The implementer would have the language specifying how you'd apply for the grant, how it'd be awarded, which agency would oversee it. So that's the tried and true approach of an implementer. That's why it's necessary, right? That you need something behind the numbers. Where the implementer gets trickier is that it's like any other bill, and you can argue that almost any bill affects the budget in some way. And so other bills that, you know, didn't pass for one reason or another sometimes get put in there, particularly priorities of a particular caucus, which is always the danger of going to special session with unlimited time. That's why we should have had an 18-hour debate last week and been done with it. But instead, here we are today and tomorrow.
So when it comes to the first of all, is the implementer bill, is it all written? Is it all been released?
Yes,
and
is.
All that?
On the system, it's public, yep.
And how long was it this time?
I mean, it's always going to be hundreds of pages.
Okay.
But
I would say, compared to other implementers that I've been involved with, this is on the minor side in terms of things that have been revisited.
So, is there anything in it that would pass that didn't pass in the session?
Yes.
Like what?
There's a voting rights bill, Senate Bill 5, which cleans up automatic registration, makes ballot boxes permanent, things like that. The reason that didn't pass during session is that in the House, there was an FOI provision. We sided with the FOI commission. We wanted it changed. The Senate didn't have time to take up that amendment. So that bill, as amended, will be in the implementer, for example. So there's one. But, you know, and there's a handful of others. But I would say that's probably the largest one.
But I guess, Matt, the way I understand it is that it's straight up or down. You either vote yes or you vote no. That's simply it,
correct.
Right?
Okay. That's it. Yep. And so you will, if you vote against it, you're probably voting for things you like. And if you vote for it, you're probably voting against things you don't like, potentially, but that's not unusual in a budget context.
So there's I just trying to make sure, like, there's nothing that comes back, and we were just sort of joking, like, nothing will come back to bite somebody or will force somebody to vote against this because of something that's been put in it. You don't foresee that kind of issue this time around.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're against the permanency of the ballot boxes, for example, maybe that tilts you one way or another. But I don't think there's anything in there that's is going to make someone go, oh, my goodness, right? There is additional funding for federal dollars that's appropriated for different purposes.
Yeah,
that's probably the other significant change in terms of appropriating dollars. But, no, I mean, look, I think the Senate President and I we're very clear with our caucus. It's not a chance to revisit every issue. There are a handful, but I would say those are issues that were very, very important or probably had pretty broad-based support to pass.
Here's a question that keeps getting raised. And some people say, and I've heard people calling, you know, the talk shows here later in the day. Why does it always take until the last hour to get, you know, the budget passed? You know, can't you do it like a month before? I'm sorry, yeah, I just have to bring it up. I've heard it.
No, it's a fair question, but let's take this year for example, okay? You had a situation where they pushed back the tax collection dates, right? The IRS did, so we had to push ours back. So we didn't get our final revenue estimates until mid-May. So actually, our budget, the fact that it was done within 14 days of those revenue estimates is pretty remarkable. Now, in normal circumstances, when you're talking about when you get your revenue estimates at the end of April, you're right, we should get it done sooner. And so one of the goals that I would have in the future is when we get back to a normal budget process past COVID, I'd like to see us voting much closer to Memorial Day than the end of session. Yes.
You know, just a sort of a layperson question, because I'm just curious, why do governments like this do a two-year budget as opposed to year-to-year?
You know, it's just a system we inherited, and I think the reason is because when you're talking about so much money, you know, let's take a small town in Connecticut. You know, they by and large should hit their revenues and expenditures pretty close, right? Mm-hmm. It's very rare you would see widespread swings, and if you did see a swing, you're talking about maybe a couple $100,000, a couple $1 million, pretty insignificant at the end of the day. We're a $46 billion budget.
Yeah.
And so what you found is by going year to year, you do see huge fluctuations. Look at this year alone. We have a $1.4 billion surplus.
Yeah.
You might find yourself either not funding programs the way you want, or in some cases, levying taxes you didn't need to levy. 2 years gives you a better sense of where you actually are, gives you a sense to make minor adjustments in year two.
Right.
But I think when you're talking about that much money, you want to have a two-year cycle, not a one-year cycle.
Just for perspective question, when your dad was Speaker of the House, what was the budget then?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not even sure he would know.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. He always knows.
But it's obviously a lot larger. But remember, a lot of that is fixed costs. A lot of that relates to pensions, debt service, and employee salaries. I would say only about 30% is discretionary at this point, 25%. And then when you put municipal aid in there, there's very little discretionary funding after that.
You know, looking back at the session, can you give me sort of the thing you're most proud of and then the biggest sort of regret that something that didn't happen?
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think a bipartisan budget would jump off the page at me. First time since 2017 in different circumstances. That is remarkable in a polarized country that we delivered 116 votes in the House. It says to me people still work together. Seems there's still trust amongst the parties. And we can agree to disagree and also get to an agreement on deals. The vaccine bill, which passed earlier, I'm very proud of. If you look across this country right now, thanks to science, COVID-19 in Connecticut is down to 50 hospitalizations, 0.37 positivity rate. That's a sign of why we need vaccines and why they work, especially when it impacts our children. I think those two things probably jump off the page to me.
Well, so what's the game plan for tomorrow?
The game plan for tomorrow is we'll go in and we will vote on the implementer and marijuana. I think it will be in that order. And I suspect it will pass. Look, as I've said before on the show, I don't come into legalizing cannabis. I agree it's not the most important issue facing the state of Connecticut. But I would reiterate, all of our neighboring states are doing it. We're trying to eliminate the black market. We're trying to eliminate the high potency that you see.
Oh,
and we're trying
man.
To create it into an economy that is legal and above board, where people can be employed, pay taxes, and raise a family. And for those who say, well, why Connecticut? I think that the reason the votes have changed and the bill has changed over the last 8 years is Connecticut wasn't first. So now the question is, if New York's doing it, Rhode Island and Mass, why not Connecticut? I think that's how the debate turned over the last decade.
And I got to admit, it's weird driving up 91, seeing ads for Massachusetts pot shops. Who thought?
Yeah, if people want to fortify the border, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious, but it's a different argument. If we were an independent country, it's a very different debate. We're obviously not.
So. All right. Hey, good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Matt Ritter, House Speaker, special session kicks into gear for him tomorrow. A couple hundred pages on that implementer bill, but he says no real poison pills for people, you know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.